Blog Talk Radio.
I'm blessed, man.
Quit your worrying, girl.
I'm blessed, man.
For real.
I'm 28 and never bid it for the pigs. I'm grateful, especially for them nights I had work all on the table. Taking trips to get it, had me feeling like I'm raped. Took them risks for my daughter, had to show them I was able. Taking personal losses just to ensure we were stable. Drinking away the pain with apple juice and the maple. Few brothers want to kill me, feel like I'm Cain and Abel. It hurt more when the ones who betray you want to betray you. I don't think they hear me. Nah, they should have stayed in school. Worry about making a name until they make the news. Won the ball like Mayweather, forgetting April Fools. Chose to play in the game and then I chose to break the rules. Close it up, trying to get it. Can find me by the bricks. Fiends running up and down the strip, trying to get their fix. First cousin, pull me to the side, try and get a nick. But this the type of shit you experience when you in the mix. This shit a trip. Old man snaked me out of some fucking bands. Crazy party pleaded to me, needed a helping hand. First thought was telling him no. He said he had a plan. Said fuck it, ain't use my judgment. And gave his ass a chance. Small money don't mean nothing. I need 100 grand. Niggas tripping, burning they bridges. Shit, I don't understand. Plug put me square on the mound. I pissed it underhand. Bartender mixing the liquid shit you don't understand. Used to play the spot of the block every night here. Really earn my rights there by getting youngins right there. Hoodie on, bottle full of monkey in my night air. Moving all them circles, the one they get me a nice square. Ain't thinking about no lose. Man, I'm trying to have a crew, be able to walk into the mall. Then leave out with a zoo. Just a pull up in the Hamptons to a mansion in the view. Cause we done came a long way from selling candy on the stoop. Nights freezing in them jacks to get the semen off my steps. All marble when I walk in, gotta watch out for deaths. Always take it to the rack, can't defeat me with a press and stock mops. We ain't the type to alleviate the mess. Just took a crazy loss, cause my plug was rushing. I done felt, I brushed it off and got back to the money. Poor side of down 20, ain't shit you gon' tell me. Can't get it with the wet, I got it back with the 20. And I've been plugged in before, still ain't shit you could sell me. So much residue that I left in them tellies. Don't use the black light. My trap life, got them looking for me with a flashlight. Just to be a skater on my half pipe. Whole lot of trap nights, praying that I stack right. Hit it with that act right to get my money in shack height. Used to give it half price just to get a stash right. Don't know why I'm staying used to the shit I went through last night. Still I watch left right. Nights like this, part of the sacrifice. Doing wrong to obtain a blessing. Clutching that cannon tight. Praying that they don't catch you lagging and get your cabbage sliced. But drugging at the same time. Hustling without a sane mind. Cause you try and feed your peace and lead the streets the same time. Trials come with either side, so it's never a peace of mind. Brought this little peace of mind, so you don't take a peace of mind. My main goal was make it home. That's something you should keep in mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're now tuned in to GEI Radio, Necessary Convo. I am your host, Tone. Got my co-host, Gigi. What's going on?
Everything is good, man. Everything is good. How you doing?
Cooling, cooling, cooling. Before we do anything, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Hope you're enjoying your day, having getting everything you want, being spoiled, you know?
All that good stuff, yeah.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Yeah, happy Mother's Day. Shout out to my moms, man. Shout out to Mama Gigi. I had an opportunity to, you know, make sure she was taken care of today. And, you know, we did a group effort, man. You know, me and my brother, my sisters, we had a group effort, man. And that was one thing that we don't always do, man. You know, everybody likes to compete. You know, what'd you get mom? Or what'd you get dad? What'd you get mom? You know, so we actually, you know, did something right. We put our heads together and we was like, hey, what can we get her that she's going to like, that she's going to be able to appreciate, and then she's going to know it's from all of us. And, you know, I think that made her feel real good. So, but I made sure that she was fed and comfortable and taken care of today, man. So I feel good to be able to contribute to that, man. So, Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, all the mother figures. And definitely, man, to you, to your moms as well, man. To your moms as well.
Yeah, man.
And family members too.
Same to you. Same to you. I always tell people I'm in like one of the best situations because I have three beautiful mothers. I have a mother,
yeah,
a mother-in-law, and a stepmother, and they all treat me. They all spoil me. So it's no. It's not like one over the other or nothing like that. They all my mother. So I know some people out there, you know, for those out there that this day is not so much, you know, they probably don't want to celebrate this day because they may have lost their mom or
right.
something like that. You know,
right.
we got to keep that in
yeah.
mind too. So prayers out to them.
Yeah.
You know, people that got to go through this day, it could be a hard day for some, but,
right.
yeah, I'm blessed, man. I'm grateful to have all three of these ladies in my life. So, that's what it is. That's what it is, man. Again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Eat. I mean, you know, they get spoiled anyway. So, I mean, it ain't just this day. I mean, this is just like, it's celebrated, but I think the mothers get spoiled all the time. So, shout out to them, man. But we got a great show today. We got a super, super dope show
yeah,
today.
Indeed.
As always, before we get all the way into it, we made some changes. As y'all know, we was Friday night, 9 p.m. I talked to DG. I just thought that moving forward, I thought Sundays would be a better look. It's a you know, Sundays, everybody done partied. They done went out. They done went to the restaurant. They done put on their dates or whatever. So everybody kind of laid back on Sunday. That's their kick back and chill day. So for what
yeah.
we do, I thought it was good for the brand. I thought it was, you know, a good way to not only that, get a lot more callers and stuff on by doing it on Sunday. So that's why we moved it to Sunday. It's still 1 hour, even though we don't do 1 hour. Y'all already know that. We're going to keep it like that. We're not going to go too far because 2 will turn into 3, 3 will turn into 4. You know how that goes, GG.
Yeah, I do.
So that's it. We hit every Sunday, 7 p.m. until we get off. We're going to be having some more guests. Like today, we got a special guest with us, a motivational speaker, screenwriter, author, director, producer. We got Jay Barrows in the
yeah.
building. We're gonna bring him on in just a minute. It's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting. She's going to speak about his book and some other things that he got going on. But, GG, how was your weekend, man? You know, how was your weekend?
Yeah, good weekend, man. Very productive and good weekend. I had a chance to really just literally clean house. Check that out, man. I had an opportunity to really clean house, and I don't mean just, you know, straighten up my bathroom and closets and stuff like that in the garage, but I had a chance to clean house, man. So for me, what that meant was kind of, you know, put away some of the old things that's not really contributing to my life. You know, it's not really productive in my life. And I had a chance to reprioritize some things, you know, personally, spiritually, financially, you know, all that good stuff, man, personal and business. So this weekend has been really good. You know, I want to shout out to definitely everybody who has been supporting me, you know, through it all, through my brands, just my personal development and things like that. And, man, it's been a great weekend. And like I said, man, being able to take care of moms and dad, you know, my parents are together. So, you know, I was able to make sure that they was taken care of today. So it's nice to be in a better position at this point. And one thing that I did say, man, earlier into the week, I was like, I questioned everybody, like, think about where you were 1 year ago. Think about what you was doing 1 year ago, what you was praying for, you know, what you was working for, and look at where you are now. Because the actions, the activity, the attitudes, you know, those played a part to where you are, you know, whether you're in a stronger place or whether you may be kind of trickling along or you may have fell back a little bit. you know, those things that you have done prior. And I like to just date back a year because, you know, that's usually a good moniker, so you can check out, see where you're at, man. That's a pretty good milestone. Go back a year, and I thought it was real important, man. So I'm thankful for where I'm at, and man, where I'm going, and how I'm focused. And my prayers is for everybody to, you know, put themselves in the best position moving forward. So really good week, man. Really good week, good weekend. Yeah, man. How about yours, man? I see a lot of moves being made over there, man. GI Network is going bonkers right now, man.
definitely. This weekend, though, man, I could truly say I got an opportunity to go to bed. Like, nothing happened. Like, zero. I literally slept this whole weekend, which is needed. It was needed. You know, your body will tell you when you need to take a break, and this weekend definitely was that. So I'm well rested. I'm up. I'm ready. These next couple weekends gonna be crazy. I'm going to your hometown, man. Or, you know, one of your hometowns, because you was a, you know, Army baby. So we gonna be up in Boston Saturday.
Okay. All right. That's definitely the birthplace, man. So that's cool. Enjoy New England, Beantown, man. Let's go.
Yeah, man. So you're going to see what's going on up there, see what they talk about. But, yeah, this is a chance to rest, man, and reset. You know, sometimes you got to do that. You know, when you focus and you on this mission, sometimes you don't give your body a chance to relax. So that's what we did, man. We just kick back, chill, watch some TV, some regular stuff. And we ready now. We back.
Okay.
So let's get it, man. Necessary Convo. Sunday, 7 p.m. Let's bring on our guest.
Hey, man, let's do it, man. I'm excited about that.
Are you with us?
Hello?
Can you hear us?
My man. Welcome to the show.
Appreciate you. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
I can't complain. Can't complain. Every day above ground is always a good one.
Man, that's a fact, man. But we're excited to have you, man. We appreciate, you know, you taking your time to kick it with us on a Sunday. Just how we, you know, we reorganizing this platform. Necessary Convo, man, it obviously is a good fit for the things you have going on, my brother. So We'll let you do a quick intro before we get into the swing of things, man. But we officially welcome you to Necessary Convos, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Indeed. Yeah, we'll let you do the honors, man. We'll let you toot your own horn. Give us a little intro, man. How you got started and everything that you have going on and what you have going on, and then we're just gonna dig right on into it, man. We want to cover as much as we possibly can and get this thing rolling, man. So again, thanks for being on the show, and let us know what it is.
All right, my name is Jay Burrows. I'm an author of the book called Porn: The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. Released the book in October of 2020. So far, we've been doing pretty good, gaining some traction. The book basically is about my entire life as a porn addict for over 30 years.
Yeah.
So I start from my genesis to my revelation.
Mm-hmm. Man, listen, that is so it's so important, man. This conversation, man, is going to be so interesting. You know, Gigi After Dark kick in, man. You already know sparks begin to fly. So I'm happy to have you on here, man. And I think that some of the things that we'll be talking about this evening are things that people do, things that people know about, but a lot of people aren't willing to have that unadulterated conversation about it, man, but we all have you know, our vices. We all have our things that we just feel like we need. Some of it we were okay to share publicly, and a lot of it is stuff that we do in the private, man, in the comforts of our own space. And so this platform is just that, man. These are not necessary combos. And I want to shout out the ladies that are on the call. You got three brothers, man. You got three different sets of nuts on this call this evening, man. And so that's a luxury. Seriously, that's a luxury because, you know, sometimes you got one guy who they quote-unquote, you know, is alpha male. That's a whole other story that we'll have to talk about another time. And then, you know, you may have two on end, and they may be, you know, a yin and yang, bad cop, good cop. But you got three guys going to kick it to you 100%. Any questions you ask gonna get answers. At the same time, please be prepared for some real deal answers. No sugar coated, nothing. You know, nobody's gonna be evasive or elusive with their responses or comments. And we're gonna have a good time, man. Cause I heard a little bit about the book, and of course, you know, through the advertising and things like that, I knew the title of it. But I did not know that this was, you know, the context. I'm digging the context already because, and I don't even want to get in, you know, jump into it without going in order. But, you know, I've dealt with that, and I've dealt with that later in life. And when I talk about later in life, I'm talking about 30s, y'all. I ain't started looking at porn until my 30s, man.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I mean really looking at it. I ain't talking about little magazines and stuff. I'm talking about, hey, you know, it's about that time. I'm about to make time for this thing and get into it. So this is going to be good. This is going to be good. So I want to re-welcome everybody. Necessary Convo, Sundays, you know, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Myself, GG After Dark, of course. Bossman, G.I. Tone. And Jay Burrows, man, definitely representing. I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
Let's jump right into it. So, when did you realize that you had an addiction?
I realized I had an addiction around the age of 28. What brought me to that knowledge was I started to realize how much time was being consumed when I was watching pornography. And also I did a little spring cleaning because I was moving. And when I was moving, I took all the old video movies that I had, the DVDs, and I put them into a garbage bag. This garbage bag contained over 200 and somewhat movies. I looked at that bag, and then I had to take a long, hard look in the mirror and say, this is ridiculous. There's an issue here. There's a problem. And that's what really gave me the indication that something was wrong, and I was moving around on a hamster wheel, and I needed to get off.
Yeah.
Now, one more question, Gigi. Now, when you say time, how often were you watching the film? Like 2 hours,
okay,
3 hours a day?
Basically, I would watch porn on a regular day, maybe 2-3 hours a day, maybe 2-3 times a day. I had a night job where I worked in an office building. I did security at the desk. No one really came there at night, and, you know, we would just hang out in the back room. And I was there all day, and I had my computer with me, and I was watching porn.
Hmm.
So that's how much consumption I was doing. It was just... like, it was getting to the point it was getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
Man, listen, I don't know where to begin because I'm so excited to know that somebody's willing to talk about this. So I want to put things in context, man. That's typically what I like to do, and then that usually opens up more lines of communication. So. First and foremost, brother, I want to appreciate you for being just transparent because you got to understand that you're not alone. You've never been alone. and you will never be alone. You
understand
what
I'm
saying?
That was the purpose of me writing the book. Yeah, that was the whole purpose of me writing the book, to let everyone else know that they're not the only ones suffering with this situation or going through these problems or in this trap. And the biggest thing that I wanted to get out of it is to offer a way out. Now, my solution may not be the perfect solution, but it's a start to get you out.
Yeah.
I've been to so many meetings and so many different groups where they weren't really giving too much solution. They were just pointing at the problem. And I dove in and gave solution to give you a start. And that was like my whole mission, is to give someone the ability to give them hope. And there's a light at the end of this tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So let me back things up and let me put it in context for our listeners on this platform. So I think it's important for everybody to understand and know that at some point you have to be transparent about your situation. Now, everybody has a vice, you know. For some people, it may be smoking, drinking. For some people, it may be porn, for instance. And for some people, it may be gambling. It just kind of depends on what a person decides to utilize as their vice. But when we start talking about pornography and the sexuality of it and all the activity, I really want to dig in and talk about the potential roots of it, right? The potential roots of why people do it. So if we put it in context of maybe a relationship or lack thereof relationship, sometimes people go to, you know, pornography as, you know, a stress reliever. And then once they, you know, decide, hey, I like this, this is cool, I got some favorites or whatnot, and then, you know, they can become addicted to it, right? And then obviously you have to identify that it's an addiction. And as you mentioned before, when it starts consuming your time, you understand what I'm saying? So if you need to be at work at 9 p.m. and your ass got up at 7 o'clock in the morning to get to some porn, and next thing you know, you look up and it's 8:30, it's 9, it's 9:15, and then you got to do what you got to do. And not only that, maybe later on in the day, or maybe in the for your lunch break, or when you get home later at night, certain things that you have to identify and be like, look, man, this is consuming my damn time to where I can't even be productive, right? And so it, obviously we're using porn because, you know, we have someone who has not only identified it and addressed it, but has also found a resolve that works for him that he can suggest to others once they have accepted it and, you know, identified it, accepted it, and actually want to do something about it. So that's what we're talking about in this context. But I think it's so important that we take a look at why, you know, because you have ladies that may be in a relationship and they're like, hey, my guy looks at porn. Why is he looking at porn? Why he don't want to have sex with me? Why is, you know, he can get off on porn, but when it's time to give me these back shots, then he a noodle, right? So I think the ladies are really interested in wondering why some guys or why guys get so addicted to porn versus maybe taking it out on them as far as, you know, sexual aggression, or if you want sex all the time or feel like you got to get off, why not take it out on them in that way? So I want to ask you, since we want to take this kind of back to the roots, was it something that you realized what was a big deal when you was actually with someone, when you was actually either dating or, you know, you had a lady? Did this go on during that time as far as identifying it?
Okay, identifying it, yes, it went on during that whole time. The thing, let me address something that you said earlier about, like, as far as with the women being concerned, it has absolutely nothing to do with you being in a relationship or being involved with a woman. This is totally something about self. So with most men, it's in our nature to like variety. We like different things because we're visual. So we like different things. The thing pornography did was allow you to see various different women. In the physical sense, you don't think of it as cheating because I'm not physically with them. In my mind, I'm with them. Now, I'm let you in on a little something about my life. I also was an exotic dancer for about 11 years. And
okay.
During that time, yeah, it's kind of interesting, but during that time, it allowed me the room to maneuver around a lot of different women. And what I started doing unconsciously was whoever I was watching in the videos, and I'd go to a show, I'm picking women that resemble them, whether body types, facial, whatever the case was. And
okay.
I was carrying things over. So it was more of me getting gratified than anything else. Fortunately for me, I wasn't one of those people who I could perform in the bed, and then my drive was high enough that I still wanted to do, you know, I would watch porn or something afterwards. Sometimes I'd have sex while porn is on or something like that, depending on who I was dealing with. And this is when I really started noticing that this was an issue.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if any of you guys ever dealt with anything like that, but, you know, I've been through a lot of things, and that's why I felt it was time to speak on it, because I know there are other brothers who are going through the same things. There are the women who are dealing with brothers who are going through these things as well, and they're looking at them like, am I not good enough? Yeah, you're good enough, but we have selfish natures as human beings, period. We have selfish natures. And the way pornography is set up, it draws you in. Everything starts off small. Okay, you may be doing it as a thing where I just want to release some tension. You know, wifey not around or whatever, or whoever I'm dealing with, I can't get to her right now, so I'll just blow off some steam real quick. It'll start off like that. But it's designed to pull you down a rabbit hole. You ever notice, like, if you're watching something, especially with the way the internet is set up, you have a lot of suggestion boxes and things like that to keep you pulling you deeper and deeper. Now, your mind can travel to certain places. Like, you may have a female who only does certain things. She won't venture into other territory. You may want to go.
Right.
But these videos allow you to express that, and then they pull you further. That's the biggest thing about pornography. It's a rabbit hole. And there is no real ending to it. It's just, where do you get sucked so deeply in and you hit your bottom?
Man, it gets no realer than that. I know that Tone is over there stunned right now. Tone is stunned. I can tell you that right now, man. But let me continue to dig in, because what you just said was so powerful, man. The world of pornography is the ultimate fantasy, right? You have situations that you can only imagine. They seem so unrealistic, or more so such a fantasy. It's bringing those fantasies to life, man. And we're talking about, for example, you know, you may have an amazing looking woman, right? And then you got this funny looking dude, and you know that typically he would not have a chance unless, you know, he either got game or he got something she want. And it's just, they play the scenario out, and next thing you know, man, he's getting top, and then next thing you know, he's getting bottom. And it's like, wait a minute, this dude would never be able to pull this woman, or this this couple would never, you know, deal with this type of guy, whether it's, or deal with that type of woman. And it's like mismatched situations that you could only imagine happening. And we can even go into the interracial situation. We can go into age, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got MILFs and these young guys, or you got the old guy getting young women and stuff like that.
Something
like,
for everyone.
Are you serious? Yeah. And finally, I got to bring this out too. I mean, we can, you know, you gotta acknowledge the fetishes as well, right?
Yes.
You gotta acknowledge the fetishes as well. Even, you know, things like the small people, Tony, you know, you got the midgets out there. You gotta talk about that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
People have all these crazy, you know, these fantasies and stuff like that to where they typically wouldn't be bold enough to share their fantasy or even attempt it. You can find it, man. There's thousands of categories. Whatever your ass want or whatever your ass imagine, there's a category that's already created for it. And you get to jump in and do that thing. So I do want to say this, and I'll pass the mic off and tell them. I do want to say this. Now, we're in 2020, right? 2021, 2020, that type of thing. So there's a lot of sites now that are free. So I want to ask you, in your experience, did you ever get to the point to where now you're paying for certain platforms to get access, and did that become an issue from a financial standpoint to where you just kind of spend the money frivolously to you know, get your fix, if you will? So is that something that you dealt with in dealing with this?
No, I never did. That was a boundary that I never crossed, and it's just something from my upbringing. I would never pay for anything like that. Sexual things I didn't pay for. Because I always knew, like, coming up, it was time. Time is enough payment for everything.
Right.
Time is your most precious commodity. You cannot get it back once you spend it. And monetary-wise, I never paid for anything, so I was kind of spoiling that fact. And looking at it from that perspective, when you're paying for something like this, there's a reason why pornography is free. And the way the web is set up, it's called the web for a reason, because it just draws you in. And
facts.
The biggest thing, like I told you, it goes back to time. You got to think about this. And this was one of the things that helped bring me out of it. How much time are you wasting watching this when you could be creating something else that could benefit people, benefit the world, just benefit you and your immediate family? What could you be doing creatively with that same amount of time that you're sitting there in front of either the TV, computer screen, your phone, whatever you're using as the vessel? What else could you be doing? Like, when I stopped watching pornography, I became financially literate because there were so many other things I wanted to go into. Entrepreneurship. I wanted to learn about real estate. And I seen all these things that were available, all this information that was available. So when I stopped clicking on porn and started using my brain to create, I'm writing screenplays at a faster rate and doing things creatively that would help me in the future. So that gratification that I was seeking anyway, it came at a delayed rate, but I still got it with a bigger accomplishment. Like, now I can sit back and look, I have my book. It's done. It's written. It's out. Movies that I've created and written, they're done. They're out. I wouldn't have been able to do that still running around on that hamster wheel.
Hmm.
Before
I get into some more questions, we got some callers. I'm going to get some of these callers on. Let's get... 5555 GEI Radio, you on?
Welcome
Hello.
To the show.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I actually came in towards the butt end of it, but I actually kind of disagree with some of the things he was saying at the end.
Okay.
So if it's possible, can you please refresh me on the topic before I actually give my opinion?
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for calling in. This is Gigi. So our show, we are featuring our guest.
Jay Burrow.
And our guest has Jay Burrow. He has been able to, you know, let us know his story, because, of course, he's talking about his story and how he's dealt with pornography and as far as the length of time, his experiences, and his outlook on how to deal with it from his perspective, right? So I'm not sure what end you got, but basically he was just talking about how, and I'll let him explain it, of course, but from what I gathered, he was just talking about the different ways of how pornography can suck us in, right, as individuals. And it can be time-consuming, right? And there's things that you can be doing, other things you can be doing that are more productive. And he gave us examples for him, how he was able to be more productive when he was able to step away from that for him. So that's basically what he was talking about. And, of course, you have three guys on the panels here, right? So these are male perspectives. So we really appreciate you coming on here as a woman. So by all means, give us your feedback on that topic.
Okay. I had an idea that's what that was about. As far as the pornography part, I'm glad you said that he was giving his aspect of it and what he was going through, because from what I was hearing, it seems like he was putting all men in the same category, and that's where I disagree. Now, if that was in reference to him, then that's understandable. But when it comes to pornography, all men are not going to see it the way he see it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A lot of men just see it as just, you know what I'm saying, something that's a quick fix just to give them a visual. Now, if you're going through it all the time, then that's something within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of time, men don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. So if they had a choice, guess what? They're not going to go to the porn. They're not going to focus on that. So they're going to have that extra time to do everything else. But now you have a very small majority of men who actually do focus on porn and maybe a little bit too much of it. But like I said, that goes according to that man. But because like I said, the way it sounded like he was just saying it was just like a broad range of men that this porn is sucking in. No, it's that man.
No, I'm not saying that it was a bunch of everybody. Yeah, it's not everybody.
No, I'm just
like
saying
I
that's the way.
Right.
From the way you were saying it, you weren't saying, from my experience, this is what I was going through. You said that at the end. Mm-hmm. But when I first came in, you were saying basically, this is what happens with men. Men get drawn in, and I didn't even know I was muted because I was literally talking, and I didn't even realize because I was like, no, that's not true. That's just you.
So let me clear that up. It's not all men, but men who are suffering with the issue that I had, this is what happens to them. And like I said, they get drawn in, and it becomes incredibly time-consuming. And, you know, like you said, given the option of having a real woman opposed to what's on a video screen, yeah, most men are going to choose that. Even I chose that.
And that's men, the men who have issues. Like you said, those are men who have issues that...
This is an issue. That's what the whole thing was about.
Exactly.
This is an issue.
Okay. Okay.
Definitely appreciate your perspective, though. Thank you.
Definitely. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to get one more caller on. 5489 GEI Radio, you on?
Welcome to the show. Caller, are you there?
Okay.
Folks might just be pressing one. Let's back up. Let me go ahead and just rebrief. Welcome to Necessary Convo. Every Sunday, which is a new day, same new day and time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a special guest tonight. Jay Burrows definitely representing. If you guys are just jumping on here, we do have a special guest. He is a producer. He's an author. He is a man of many hats. And he's talking about not only one of his projects, which is one of his latest books called Porn, he's also given us actually how he decided to create this book, and it's a pretty amazing story. And so we're actually open up the floor, open up the conversation. We're talking about porn, y'all, right? So whatever porn has been or is to you, feel free to share that. We have the pleasure of a guy here who has opened up and telling us his story, his perspective, his ups and downs, and how he identified it, how he addressed it, and not only how he has resolved it, but also suggestions for those who have also suffered of porn addiction. So I want to be very clear. Porn addiction is real, right? So we can't downplay it. You got three men that are on the phone, right? That are on this platform right now, and we're able to talk about it. Everybody knows somebody that has suffered from it. Just like everybody knows somebody who is an alcoholic. Everybody knows somebody who is a weed head. Damn it. Everybody knows somebody who is a gambler, right? So should you be able to gamble and not be addicted to it? Yes. Should you be able to drink alcohol, consume alcohol without getting drunk or being an alcoholic? Absolutely. Should you be able to watch porn and just enjoy porn or go to strip clubs or just enjoy the art of it? Yes. Right. So we're very clear on that. We're opening up the conversation. And maybe what's your experience, right? Maybe you've dealt with somebody who is addicted to porn, or who just always seemed to like porn, and you're trying to figure out, well, why in the hell you always need porn to get your dick up, right? or what's going on, right? So this is the conversation for that, because you're not going to be able to go to work tomorrow and have this conversation in the break room without getting fired. Right. So you got to understand that, you know, this is really a really cool platform that you can ask these questions. Right. And so, you know, we appreciate all questions. So hopefully that's a quick recap. Right. So that we can definitely move forward. And trust me, Tony and I, we going to jump in on this. Right. Because, you know, GG got stories. Right. You already know GG rant ain't even happened yet. But again, you know, if we have callers. Before we continue on, by all means, jump in. Whatever questions you got for me, he right here. You want to ask him?
Can I make another statement
go
real
ahead.
Quick?
Man, so, please, so go ahead.
Another thing is, like with most men who are dealing with this situation, just like anybody who is an addict or realizes, like, you know, they have something that they're dealing with, it's kind of hard to tell the truth at first, because most people tell the truth when they feel they have nothing to lose, and most will lie when they feel they have something to lose. And when I was in the position where I felt I had a lot to lose, I didn't talk about it very much. You know, I was confronted a couple of times, but I didn't want to speak on it. I downplayed it a lot. But then when I came to the realization of, like, okay, this is really an issue and it's costing me more, and I started to tell the truth, that weight was lifted and I let it go. I was able to really articulate what was happening, what I was going through. You know, some people may look at me and be like, oh, okay, well, you're just a wild pervert or whatever the case is. It doesn't really matter to me now, but for somebody else that may be dealing with this, that's the kind of thing that they're trying to avoid. They don't want to be ridiculed. They don't want to be looked down on or shunned or anything, or had a woman looking at them left. Or anything like that. The biggest thing is it's only going to get worse no matter what you do, because it's a thing that isolates you. And without the help of other people, it's very, very hard to get out of it. You know, you may be able to sustain for a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, maybe a year or two. But it's always creeping in the back of your mind. Like, this is something that I deal with these thoughts on a regular basis, but it's I've come to a point where in the discipline of myself where I can suppress them and I don't have to do anything. I don't have to react to it. You know, it's not pushing me anymore the way it once was. And that's the point. Yeah. I want to try to get other brothers to who are dealing with brothers or women who may be dealing with this as well, because there are women who deal with it, but theirs is a little bit different. And I address that in the book as well. The way they go through it is a little bit different. Remember those little romance novels that a lot of women like to read, like Zane and different novels like that? pretty much that's porn. Because those fantasies linger around in your mind. And like I said, being a dancer, I was privy to see how a lot of females would act and react to certain things. And I was propositioned by women like, oh, I remember I read this in a book. Can we do this? Can we do that? You know, so for them, it's not as external. It's more internal than it is for us. But it's still a problem is a problem.
Yeah. It's crazy because that was my next question. That was my next question to you. Did you think, is it just a guy problem or do women suffer from this too? But you kind of answered it. I do want to ask this. How hard was it to write this book knowing that everything you put in this book was true and it was about yourself?
It wasn't hard to write it. It was more of a relief. So dealing with the shame, dealing with the weight of it, the guilt, I needed to release it. Because if I didn't, I'm going to be stuck in the same place and continuing to do the same things. Like I said, that hamster wheel. You're just running around in a circle. You're never going anywhere. You're not getting anything done. Your productivity is falling, you know. And when I started to write the book and going on a journey, it opened me up to realize things about myself. It opened me up to realize things about other people, people around me, how my relationships, because I was becoming so self-absorbed, I was becoming real introverted. And I wasn't as open with myself as I was around the people because you're thinking they might know something or they might find out something and then they're going to look at me funny. Once I wrote the book, it's out there now. Everybody can judge it. Everybody can see it. But I'm not concerned about the naysayers. I'm concerned about the person that reads this and says, that's me. I went through this. And if he can get out of it, then I can get out of it. That's what I really want. It's not, it's bigger than me. It's not really about me at all. It was just me telling my story. My story's not going to change. It's my story. Either way you put it, that's what it is. That's who I am. That's who I was when I got there. So I just put it out there, and it helped me release all that shame, all that guilt, all that weight that was on me is now off.
Yeah. Yeah, like you mentioned before, I think it is important to find a way to release some things. Now, you very well could have put it in a book. You could have journalized it. You could have done those things. But to make it public and to share a story, to share a story, you have to go from the beginning to where you are right now. And so that's what's so important because people feel like they have to go through this complete transformation to tell their story or to put a book together or put a movie together. And I think that some of the best times to do that is when you're actually going through it, you know. And I don't mean, you know, you don't necessarily have to put it out there then, but actually putting it on paper, you know, doing some recordings while you're going through those moments. Because that's a part of the healing process is releasing. And so I commend you, man, because, there's different stories out there that people can put out there. But the thing about it is how transparent are they going to be, you know, and when do they do it? Sometimes they wait, you know, 5, 6, 10 years later. If a person is a recovering crack addict, right, they're not going to do it when they, you know, they 3 months out. Or, you know, because they may slip back up or they may wait till this 20 years. Let me share this story, you know. So I think it's really important. And this goes for everybody because everybody has a story to share. Right? Everybody has a story to share, whatever it is, childhood trauma, adult trauma, whatever you had going on or whatever you got going on. There's a story to tell that's going to help somebody else because, again, you know, we all have some type of vice. We all have some type of go-to, right, to where it may start out as a stress reliever, may start out as recreational, may start as just a hobby, and then it can become an addiction. And so it's so important to be able to not only share the story, but the transparency of it. That's what's really going to be the most impactful when you're transparent, because people need to know. You know, people need to know how bad it got, how bad it could get, because, you know, people just they automatically think, okay, well, he's at a point now where he's writing books, he's doing the movies and stuff like that. You know, is it just, you know, for money, or is it just for fame or notoriety, anything like that? No, it's a damn story that everybody needs to hear. You know what I mean? One thing that is some people may or may not know, but one of your favorite gospel recording artists, Kirk Franklin, suffered from pornography addiction.
Yes, it did.
Like he, you know what I'm saying? And people may have forgotten that, but he had came out about that, you know, years and years ago. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, everybody has a story, and somebody just hearing that is, oh, not Kirk Franklin. We know he going to curse his son out, but we ain't know that he was, you know, he was a porn addict, but he damn sure cussed little buddy out. But, you know, but on a serious note, everybody has had something that they overcame. And I think it's important to share with as many people that, you know, you was able to get through that. And so one thing that I do want to talk about that has not been mentioned is share with us your support going through this process or lack thereof. But share with us about the support system and helping you through these challenges and these obstacles, that process.
So I had a lot of friends around me during the course of writing the book. I would share different chapters, different stories. Some people were part of the story themselves. They know the time frame. They were there while it was going on. And a lot of them didn't realize what I was going through. They were like, wow, you know, I never knew all that time we were together and we were in these same spots and these same places, and I had no idea this is what you were dealing with. You know, so you always want to try to find an accountability partner. But the thing is, you don't want an enabler. So I had friends of mine who were accountability partners, but the thing was, they were kind of just as bad as I was. They weren't to the extreme that I was, but they were like, okay, well, you know, I do it too. You don't want that. You want somebody who doesn't suffer with this kind of situation. And that way their vision is clearer than yours. You know, when I brought it to somebody that I was dealing with, and she was like, well, I don't understand why you just don't stop. And I can't fault her for saying that, because she didn't understand it. You know, most people don't think that, oh, porn addiction is not a real thing. You know, just stop, just turn it off, you know. It sounds simple, but just like with any addiction, it's not. And during the process of writing the book, I figured if I'm honest enough and I put myself out there and be transparent, I can have everyone who picks up this book as an accountability partner for me. So I'm enlisting the help of everybody. And for those who do pick up the book and say, well, I need one too, I'm here for you now.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's pretty major. Hey, Tone, I know that we have some callers waiting. I want to challenge the callers, even because I'm pretty sure that what they want to talk about is probably different than what I want to challenge them about. But specifically for the ladies, I'm interested in knowing, and I appreciate the first caller calling, even though she didn't catch everything. If she's still on, I think she has a better idea of the context. But I think she gave a great example of how some ladies respond when their guy is not just watching. You know, you can watch porn, you can watch porn together, but an actual addiction. So an addiction has to be identified, right? So if a guy watches porn or women, they watch porn, you know, to get off or, you know, or whatever, then that's what they do. Now, when it starts interfering with your productivity, you know, yeah, that's the corporate way, productivity, right? Not productivity. Mm-hmm. But when you start tapping into that, obviously it becomes an interference. It becomes an addiction. And so when it gets to that extent, that's what Jay Burrow described for us. He let us know when it started tapping into real life, right? You got to snap out of the fantasy. You got to snap out of that and be, you know, productive in real life. I want to ask the ladies, when it comes to your guy watching porn, is it offensive? Is it offensive if he is watching porn often? If he's watching porn often, and if his reasoning is, well, you know, I don't want to mess around, or, you know, this is my way of not cheating on you. You know, at least I ain't putting it in nobody. So I'm just, you know, doing my thing. And the caveat to that is, and what you said before, you get to a point to where, and anybody that has watched porn or watches porn, you start getting favorites, man. Don't act crazy on me, y'all. You start getting favorite. You get favorite scenes. You get favorite characters. Sometimes you get favorite combinations. You get favorite categories. Come on. Mm-hmm. So is that offensive at that point to where, you know, now he goes off and he starts looking at this one particular woman that happens to have pink hair and she's short and thick. Right? You know what I'm saying? So that's what I want to ask the ladies. Like, is that better than him going out, you know, with the fellas or going to the strip club and, you start putting a whole picture together that ain't even really necessarily happening? Or if he is, you know, doing his thing on the laptop with the Jergens right to on his right hand, you know? So I'm interested on how the ladies feel about their guys even just watching porn, period, you know, because some ladies don't like that at all. You know, mm-hmm. Like, hey, you know what? I'm right here. I'm right here in front of you. What you need that for?
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, you know, just press one. All you got to do is press one. We'll get you on. It's past 8 o'clock. So anybody that's trying to call in or anything now is too late. The people that's on, you can stay on with us and continue this conversation. But what I do want to ask him, I do have another question to ask him is, how would you handle meeting somebody new and they watch porn? Would that be a turnoff to you now after dealing with that addiction?
It's not a turnoff, but it's a conversation. You know, I let them know, you know, what I dealt with and everything. If that's something that you do, and we might find a common ground, because it just depends on how far you've gone into it. Or is it just a thing where, you know, you're getting off on it, whatever the case is. You know, you have females who do watch it just to, you know, a quick little bit of self-love. When your man is not around, that's what they do. But if there's somebody that's deep into it, then we have a conversation, and I may be able to help them.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, because I wanted to know that, because I know that could be kind of hard. It's just like somebody that's an alcoholic that finally, you know, stopped drinking.
And then somebody
you don't want to kind of go. Yeah, you don't want to kind of go and start hanging around a bunch of drinkers.
Right.
So, like you said, addiction is addiction. So if you just kick this addiction and now you're on the right path, you know, meeting somebody new they may not have an addiction, but they watch it. Could that trigger something or, you know, so.
Yeah. Here's another thing about the pornography thing. As far as, like, in relationships, I had to point this out to somebody. pornography never says no. Pornography does not have a time where it doesn't feel well, has a headache, doesn't want to be bothered, you know, maybe an illness or whatever the case is. And it never says no. And the variety, like I said, it always goes back to that variety. You can always get whatever you're seeking fulfilled. It's there for you. It's available anytime. You know, there may be times you roll over in the middle of the night and the girl like, listen, we've been going at it for hours and I'm sore. I just can't keep up, you know, and you having one of those moments and you're like, okay. So you kind of like, you know, the dog on Family Guy walking down to the basement. It's one of those situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that's fair. I think that's fair. I do want to ask, have you completely removed pornography out of your life in its entirety?
Every day I go moment by moment, day by day. I've never been one of those people who sit there and say I've been clean for 3 months or a year or two, because that one time that you do mess up, it seems like everything is wasted that you just did.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's a moment by moment. You know, it comes to me in certain thoughts. Some days easier than others. Sometimes I got to pray and fast. Other days I just ignore it. You know, sometimes I may have to call somebody and we have conversations that throw my mind into a different direction. Or I'll get into my work. Or I'll just sit down and pop the Bible open and I'm on my way. I'm reading my word. This is the things that I have to do, but it's that discipline I have to stick with, because it's not going to stop. Once I open that door, you know, I may have closed the door, but at the end of the day, this is something that's going to come to be reoccurring because it's familiar to my flesh. It's very familiar to my flesh. It's something that I know. And when I grew up, the odd part about it is I grew up, my grandparents were alcoholics, so I didn't really drink because I've noticed the outcome and I've seen the negative side right in front of my face. So I didn't really drink.
Right.
And my uncles were drug addicts, so I've seen the ill effects of drugs and what it can do to you and how bad it really can get. So I never did any drugs. This was my vice. This was my thing. I still had that addictive personality, but this was my thing. Because like most men, it was something I did on my own, and it didn't hurt anyone. In my mind, it didn't hurt anyone. But the honest truth is you're ruining relationships because you're becoming more self-centered. You're becoming selfish. You know, that only goes with the guy who's really drawn into it. For the average person, it doesn't really bother them. You know, it's just like, yeah, something I do, a couple of minutes or so, get off, and then I move on. But for somebody who went through the situation I did as an addict, you become more withdrawn. So your friends that you used to hang around, you know, you're different now. You move differently. You're not spending as much time with everybody. You know, your boys is like, yo, let's go hang out over here. You like, oh, well, I got some free time at the crib. I'm going to watch porn.
Yeah. Man, that's pretty powerful. Hey, man, I want to thank you personally for sharing your stories there, bro. Man, you really have opened up some serious and necessary conversation that a lot of people are afraid to have. I'm going to just be straight up. They're afraid to have it because they feel like they'll be judged. But at the same time, man, sometimes you have to continue to release, right? Because the more you release what you don't need, you can fill yourself with what you do need. So I think that's powerful. I want to jump in here real quick. I know we're short on time, or very close to on time, but I want myself and Tone to kind of tap in on our experience just with porn. We've talked about porn, obviously. You know, one of our platforms we had was Freaky Friday. We talked about pretty much everything. Jay Brown, matter of fact, have you ever checked out our platform on Freaky Friday before? and the content that we talked about?
I caught some of it. I didn't catch a lot of it.
Okay, right. But you knew that we had it, and you knew that some of the content that we had on there. So we did talk about it. And I know for me, it took me a little bit later. I was a late bloomer on certain things. Obviously, it had to be certain things, right? Because I got adult children. But when we talk about pornography, man, my experience came a little bit later because, you know, I wasn't necessarily into it, but at the same time, I wasn't introduced to it. I feel like if I was introduced to it, then I probably would have spent more time doing it because I didn't realize that, again, that it was a web, that it was literally a rabbit hole. You have all these categories. You have all these free sites. I mean, if you think about it, like you said, you don't necessarily have to pay for it because – hell, you got some scenes that are hours or an hour, or some scenes that are for 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and then you got hardcore stuff, you got soft, and you got all these different things. To get you to where you need to get may not take but a few minutes. You know what I mean? So you 3 minutes into it, you done splattered all over the place, and the thing still got 45 minutes left down low. You know what I'm saying? You still got 45 minutes and 12 seconds left. So for me, man, when I start checking it out, man, I was kind of like, I felt some type of way. I felt uncomfortable, to be honest. Right. But at the same time, the fact that nobody knew, you know, I was alone. And then it got to a point to where if I was in a relationship, I didn't want to watch porn while she was there because I felt like she was going to judge me.
Right.
And I never got caught watching it, but I did get caught with it being on the computer, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's when I learned about cookies, man. I was like, yo, man, you gotta be careful with the cookies, man. They're gonna let you know that there's a footprint of the websites that you've been checking out. And so, you know, I was approached by somebody I was dating. She was like, yo, I mean, you know, is that what you're doing? Why you feel like you need to do it? And I was just like, yo, for me, man, it's just entertainment, you know, but you learn so much, not only about yourself, but the people around you. And I mean the people around you that care about you, the people around you that, you know, are willing to ask those uncomfortable conversations on why are you doing it? Is this an issue? What's the gratification? Is it me? Is it me? Is it you? What's going on? And I think that is the best approach because you don't know if somebody has an addiction, and you don't necessarily know that because, again, they may feel like they're functioning. They're functioning porn addicts, just like a functioning weed head or a functioning alcoholic. I wouldn't say crackhead, but, you know, crackhead is a little bit more noticeable, right? That's kind of, to an extreme, right. And I'm just saying from start to, you know, down the road, it's significant. But the point being is, I think that we have to get to a point to where we should be able to have these conversations. And like you mentioned, it's not easy, but at the same time, it is very necessary. So, you know, for me, even to this day, from time to time, I'll be honest with you. From time to time, I'm just like, hey. But I can also feel myself like, yo, okay, I did that. I checked it out, whatever. Let me move on from that. Because if not, then it's kind of like, okay, I remember last week it was kind of like that. Let me go see if I can find the same one and see if I can finish it. Let me see, it can become an addiction just like that. And I think that's how it can start. And I'm giving that example because people may not have any idea of the signs. They may think it's just something they want to do from time to time. They may think that it's cool. They may think that it's something they want or need prior to, you know, linking up with their lover. And so you have to take all these things in consideration about it, man. But like I said, man, I applaud you. You know, I appreciate your transparency. And it also opened up some things for me to be very cognizant of that typically I probably wouldn't. And that's such a big deal. So, Tone, I'll let you take it from there, man, if you have any experience. Because the thing is, it might not be an addiction for folks, right? But it's right. still important to identify how it plays a part in your life, in your schedule, in what you're doing, and the purpose of it.
Definitely. I think 90% of men, you know, watch porn. Like, you may not watch it more than others, but everybody watch porn. And like you said, you know, when it becomes you sitting in front of the TV for 2 and 3 hours, but nowadays your phone for mm-hmm. 2 and 3 hours, you know, then you get a break here, you're watching it here. That's when it becomes a problem. And you have to identify that. You know, the thing is, the good thing I like about this book and what you're doing, Jay Burrows, is sometimes people think an addiction is drugs or alcohol. Like, that's it. Like, they don't think food, they don't think shopping, mm-hmm. they don't think that yeah. those things are an addiction, because, like you said, they're not hurting anybody. But it is. So for you to tell your story, people can get an understanding that it's not just, you know, doing drugs or drinking. It's a lot of other addictions out there that you may not know that you have. So, you know, again, just like Gigi said, man, I appreciate you telling your story and getting it out there to some people, because some people need to hear this. They might hear this and be like, man, that's me. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right.
Definitely appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I lost my train of thought there quick. Oh, I was going to say.
Indeed.
I had something in my mind, but I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, no, I know what I was going to say.
Well, in the intro, you got it?
I was going to say. Yeah. I was going to say, a lot of times, with especially with the guys, it starts so early. I remember me, like, stealing my pop tape. Mm-hmm. Or my uncle books. You remember when they used to get the Hugh Hefner? I forgot the name of it. The what's his name?
Playboy
what's the name
book.
Of his book? Yeah, in the Playboy mail.
Book.
They used to get him in the mail.
Yeah.
Oh,
Playboy
yeah,
Boys
yeah,
and Hustlers. Yeah.
And I remember checking the mail and getting a book and popping it open and reading, looking in it like, oh man, look, yeah, look. Me and my brother like, look. So it starts. We don't even know it start early. It start early for some of us. You know, Gigi, I don't know what you was doing to start at 30, but it started way earlier.
That's just porn, though. Yeah, that's just video.
Okay.
I'm just talking about online. Yeah, that's all I'm talking about, online video.
Yeah, but like you said, it does start early.
I missed the whole booty talk VHS era. I completely did not know anything about that. By that time, you know, I just hate. You know, the quality was so low. At this point, give me HD. You understand what I'm saying? I need quality videos at this point, and I need certain scenarios. I don't just want entertain me, man. So
right.
I'll say this. I think that's a form of addiction. When you have certain scenes that you only can watch. I think you're addicted to porn.
Not necessarily. Because what it is just that his the way your brain is wired, everything else bores you. So you're looking for a certain kind of scenario that's going to excite you. Now, could it fold into something? Yes, if you continuously keep following that, because what's going to happen is you're going to be looking for that specific scenario, and it's going to keep drawing you down through that rabbit hole,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
But if it's a thing where, you know, take it or leave it, you're pretty much in good standing. You're all right because you're not really interested in certain things. It's easier for you to say no. It's just like having a certain kind of drink. Like when I did drink, I would drink stuff like Amaretto Sours because it tastes good. I didn't drink Hennessy and stuff like that to get drunk. And when it came time for me at 25, I decided to stop drinking once I left college and everything. And I was like, I don't want to do this no more. It was easy for me to put the alcohol down. It didn't mean anything to me. So for you, being that you have that discipline already where it doesn't mean very much to you, and it's easy for you to walk away from it. Whereas with somebody else that keeps looking for that specific scenario and they can't find it without going through so many others, so many other different things that are piquing their interest here for a short amount of time span, but they still keep clicking. It's like clickbait. You keep clicking, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep looking at this, keep looking at that, but you're still sitting there. You're still wasting time. You're still not removing yourself. You're just flowing deeper and deeper until you find that treasure that you've been looking for. It's like crack. You're chasing that first high. You're never going to get it back, but you're going to keep hitting it until you feel like this could be the day that it's going to happen, when it never does.
There it is. Yeah. Jay, bro, do us a favor, man. Give us, give us a one-liner or, a few lines of, what you encourage people to do, whether it's an addiction as far as what you talked about with pornography, or just overall some principles on how to identify it, find a resolution and execute it. And then in addition to that, let us know your platforms on how we can, get your book, how we can stay connected with you, and how we can find you on social media.
Okay. First, identifying the problem. If you find yourself dwelling on websites for hours on end, you have an issue. You need to be honest with yourself and admit that you have an issue. If you find yourself going to video stores, if you find yourself by yourself doing these things at a high rate, like 2, 3, 4 times a week, or maybe 2, 3, 4 times a day, there is an issue. And you have to be honest with yourself first before you can be honest with anybody else. The next thing is to get out, the first thing you have to do is renew your mind. Your frame of thinking has to change from this is just not something you're looking at, but understand what it is. It's something that's drawing you away. And the way you can do that is think about all the things that you could be doing productive. Think about all the relationships that you have, like with your children, your significant other or something like that. You're taking time away from them. And if you put that time back into them, how much better would those relationships be opposed to what you're doing for yourself? Getting rid of that self-gratification. You still get gratification, it's just delayed, and it's much better. So I challenge everybody to think about those things if you have this problem, if you're dealing with this kind of situation. You can find the book. The book is called Porn, The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth by Fulton Books. Is my publishing company. It's on Amazon, it's on iTunes, it's on Google, and it's at BarnesandNobles.com. You can get it on the soft cover, and you can get it on digital download. My social media pages are Bullet Order Bible on Instagram. You feel free to hit me up. Facebook, it's Reginald Julius Burroughs, my whole name. I'm going to change that, though. And you can hit me there. And those are the two main I use, usually mostly Instagram. If you want to DM me and talk to me about anything, I have no problem with that. You can DM me. I answer questions. I talk to people. Like I said, you guys are now, anyone who holds this book is now my accountability partner, and I'll definitely return the favor and do the same for you. And if I don't have answers for you, I'll find them. I know a lot of people who have different resources. We'll find it. The whole thing is just to get people from the state of that box that you're stuck in and get you back out into the world and being productive again. That's my mission.
That's powerful. That's powerful, man. I definitely appreciate everything that you said. You've answered all questions, honestly. You even let folks know that, number one, that there is hope. Like some people just say, hey, that's just me. That's just what I do. That's just it is what it is. But, again, when it's affecting, just like anything, you know, just like anything, when it's starting to affect your productivity in life, affecting your relationships, you have to identify it, address it, and execute. Tone, man, this was a necessary combo, brother.
Necessary combo. Definitely. We definitely appreciate you taking the time out to come kick it with us.
Thank you.
You know, dope show. One more time, can you let the people know your social media, your Instagram and Facebook again?
The Instagram is Bullet or the Bible, and the Facebook is Reginald Julius Burroughs and Facebook.
Gotcha. We definitely appreciate you coming on, and hopefully maybe we could do a follow-up show with you again.
I'm definitely
to get you
with
back
that.
On here.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, hopefully the ladies won't just listen in. They got a lot to say. This time I guess they just was listening, which is awesome too. You know, we appreciate the callers. But Gigi, can you let everybody know where they can find you at?
Yeah, definitely. You can find me on all social media platforms, Gigi After Dark, G-I-G-I After Dark. And of course, you can also find me on I Am Ra Malloy, IamRobMalloy. You definitely want to do that. Tone, at the end of this month, man, Memorial Weekend, we have an adult prom, which is AKA the Luxury Ball, 10 minutes away from the Atlanta airport. So I'm giving away 2 tickets. You're going to have to follow me on the social media platforms to find out how to do that. And those tickets are a value of about $200. So if you want to save $200, have an elegant experience, then follow me on those social media platforms. This is going to be a special weekend to where we're giving out some tickets and some other prizes, man. So salute, J-Bro, Tone, man. Hey, I like what we're doing here with the Necessary Combo, man. Let everybody know how to stay connected.
Definitely. You can find me. Well, no, first you can follow the radio show, GEI Radio, on all social media platforms. You can follow the actual show, Necessary_Convo, on IG. You can follow me, GEI_Tone, on all social media platforms. Make sure you check out the GEI Network on Roku. We adding a lot of dope shows to the network building. What else? Or you can visit the website, geinetwork.net, to sign up to get updates and stuff about the network. So I'm just excited, man. I'm glad. I'm focused. I'm excited. There's a lot of great things going on. We're just going to keep pushing like we do. We appreciate all the callers. Remember, we're on Sundays, 7 p.m. Tell a friend until we get off. We never got an end time. We just go until we stop. But, again, big shout-out to our special guest, Jay Burroughs, again. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep pushing it. Keep pushing that. And I'm pretty sure I know you done saved some people on here today because, like I said, 90% of people watch porn. So some people may not know that they had an addiction. But hearing you today, you know, they might hit you up on the inbox or maybe start taking the steps to change that. So that's always a blessing.
So we can hope for it.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, and finish enjoying the rest of your day. We'll be back next Sunday, 7 p.m. Everybody else, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a good night. Peace.
Peace, we out.